hope y'all know by now, y'all need to get out of that panic hacking. All this. Oh, that's real good. When we're talking about the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, when God all by himself, he's so awesome, so wonderful, that we ought to be celebrating him a lot better than that. Amen. I'm so glad God doesn't respond to us the way we respond to him. Amen. I'm so glad that God, when I don't feel like praising him, he still blesses me. Hallelujah. Did anybody here want to praise the Lord? Come on, let's celebrate the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 So, if you don't mind for a moment, take about 30 seconds to yourself and just kind of detox. I know you're coming from work. You're coming from the traffic, coming from around the corner, coming from around eating dinner. You're doing all that. But let's settle in on what God is about to happen here. And get your minds ready for Bible study. Get your minds ready to talk about God and his word. So let's take a moment just to pause in a moment. Just reflect on you, however long it takes you to take a moment to pause and just get your mind ready to be prepared for what God is going to do. Amen. In your own little way, however you want to meditate, however you detox, you do that. Amen. Take a moment to yourself just to really focus in on what God has to say. Amen. Lord, we worship you, we honor you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. For truly you are worthy of all our praise, you're worthy of the glory, you're worthy of the honor. And so, Father, we welcome your spirit in this place, oh God. God, when you say, well, there are two or more gathered, there you also in the midst, oh God. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my neighbor. I pray for the ones I'm sitting next to, oh God, that you would move supernaturally in their lives. God, whatever they're needing, whatever they're going through, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would reign. You would reign like never before. You would reign in their lives, oh God. Reign on their homes. Reign on their jobs, oh God. Reign all over. Whatever they need, oh God, meet every need in this room. But God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for you to have your way, God. Have your way in our Bible study. Have your way in our discussion. Have your way, God. That we, at the end, oh God, we will give your name the praise. We'll give your name the glory. We'll give your name the honor. Shake us, oh God. Shake us, oh God. Yeah. Shake everything out of us, God, that we may focus in on your word tonight, oh God. We just love you. We adore you. We appreciate you. We glorify your name. We lift you up, oh God. You are worthy of all our praise. The psalm writer said, I bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And so, Father, we come to praise you. We come to lift you up. You said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, oh God. And so, say to the Lord with gladness, oh God. And so, God, we come to serve you with gladness, oh God. We're excited about you. We adore you. We appreciate you. There is none like you, oh God. So Spirit of the living God, have your way in this place, oh God. Move from heart to heart and from breast to breast, oh God. We need a presence. We need your power. We need your strength. We need your glory, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God, have your way, God. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Let you arise and your enemies be scattered, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that one day you're going to crack the sky. One day, oh God, you're going to come and receive us unto yourself, oh God. One day, God, we're going to be with you for eternity, oh God, to worship you, oh God, and to praise you, God. And we will always have Sunday morning, oh God. So, God, thank you, God. Thank you for the privilege of coming together and bind the hand of the enemy up right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, you are defeated. You no longer have the victory. God is in control. We love you, God. We honor you, God. Have your way. Everything we're facing is under our feet, and we celebrate it right now that we already have the victory. God, we don't have to wait to see it before we praise you. We can praise you right now. We can praise you in advance. We thank you for all our friends, all our family, oh God. Thank you for saving our neighbors, oh God. Thank you for saving our family members, oh God. Thank you for using Mount Olive, oh God. Bless our pastor, oh God. Bless our leadership, oh God. Bless every ministry, oh God. Bless us collectively, oh God. Bless us individually, oh God. But God, it's not about us. It's all about you. If you don't bless us again, you've already blessed us enough. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for sanctifying us. Thank you for wiping us off. Thank you for breathing us, oh God. Thank you for breathing into us the breath of life, oh God. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you for your plan. Thank you for your purpose. Thank you for your destiny, oh God. Hallelujah, God. We bless your name tonight. We honor you tonight. We lift you up tonight. We praise you tonight. We worship you tonight. We worship you, God. 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 God, you promised to keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. So we're staying our mind on you, oh God. We're delighting ourselves in you, oh God. Give us your desire. Give us your will. Give us your perspective. Give us your purpose, oh God. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in Mount Olive. Have your way in this service. Have your way in this moment. In Jesus' name. Everybody clap your hands and give God the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's an honor to come to church, man. I'm excited to be in church, amen, to be Bible study where I can come and get the word, amen. I'm excited. So if you all have your books, let's turn to chapter number 6 and try to finish this out, amen. Glory to God. Chapter number 6, amen. Hallelujah, 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 amen, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Chapter number 6. So hopefully you're sitting next to somebody who may not have a book. We can, that table, y'all got a book over there? Nobody has a book. You got the book already? Oh, okay, good. Wow, y'all ain't got no book over there? Y'all ain't got no book? Y'all ain't got a book? All right. We got a table that got about 4 books, 5 books. If we got a table that got 4 or 5 books, could we share with this one book and pray for them at the same time as you give them your book? Pray for them that they may get a book. Amen. In Jesus' name, pray for them that they will get a book. In Jesus' name, amen. That they can be joining us in our reading. So we're in chapter 6 again. And last week, we talked about the various ways in which God really moves. You know what I mean? We looked at various scriptures. Do anybody remember some of the verses that we looked at to show how God moves among people? Do anybody remember?
Nehemiah 1.
Nehemiah 1.
And Nehemiah 6, where God standing on the wall.
Yeah.
And he used the resources, even though they were trying to stop him from building the wall. But he also used the resources that was the guide.
Yeah.
The men that he had sent, that the king had sent.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know about Nehemiah and how Nehemiah heard about the wall and how the temple was built and it was finished, but there wasn't a wall up, and how they were subject to the enemy. The enemy could come in at any moment and annihilate them and kill them. So Nehemiah got burdened that there was no wall up surrounding God's temple. And so here, it wasn't a spiritual exercise. It didn't, somebody didn't say, we don't have a priest to pray, or we don't have a service going on at the temple. He says, no, that there was no wall around. And so sometimes God uses natural things to expose the spirit. Whew, okay. All right, you're going to take us a little while to get here. Okay. All right. God sometimes uses the natural to expose the spirit. So Nehemiah got upset because how can God's temple be unattended? How can God's temple to be easily destroyed and attacked by the enemy? So he said, God, he prayed first. So sometimes before you get involved in what God is doing, Nehemiah teaches us we need to do what? Pray first. Pray and ask God, how do I get involved? How do I get involved, God, with what you are doing? And so as he prayed, God did what? Answered his prayer, and he met with a king who had what? All of the resources. So Nehemiah didn't need resources. God had already provided. Amen. And some of us, before we get involved in what God is doing, we want to have everything already in order. We want to have a resource. We want to have all the skill sets and all that. But no, Nehemiah said, I'm just going to be available for God and watch God just bring the resources. And also, God brought the people, didn't he?
Amen.
All right. Amen. And it also shows you that you got to get opposition. Amen. When you're trying to do God's work. Amen. Mother, it's not going to be easy being in the nursery. Amen. I promise you that right now. I know it may be good, but there may be one parent that you ain't saved really yet, and they're going to bring their kids to the nursery, and they're not going to like what you're doing. You're going to be saying, oh, this is God. How you mean to tell me? I know this guy. Yeah, it happens even in Christians. Amen. You can't discipline that kid in the Lord, name of the Lord. You can't tell that kid to do nothing. Oh, you know that lady in that nursery told me I can't come to the bathroom. What you doing? Tell me. You're like, oh, Lord, in the church house. You will get opposition when you're trying to do the work of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so Reverend Jasper preached on Sunday. Praise God for him. But we also, in the middle of that, need to expect that now that we decide to get changed, don't think the enemy just going to let change happen and you're just going to be changed and everybody going to be brand new, everybody going to be different, and we're going to come and celebrate the Lord, and we're going to have a high time every Sunday from now on. We're going to be good. No, the devil going to show up right in the middle of your chain and come and say, not today. You may have changed Monday through Saturday, but when you come here Sunday morning, I got the right usher, I got the right member, I got the right deacon to tear you off. All right, amen. But again, the enemy will use anybody. You can't expect God to do great things and not expect the enemy.
That's right.
Peter said, do not think it not strange concerning what? The fiery trial as something what? Strange. He said, as Christians, you ought to expect it.
Amen.
You ought to expect the enemy coming some way. What should be strange is who he uses. That's what sometimes get me. Sometimes get me, the people he uses. I'm not discouraged about the enemy's coming. Sometimes the way he comes and the people he uses gets me caught off guard. All right? So Nehemiah here, but look what's amazing about Nehemiah. Once he decides to get involved, there are too many people hearing about what's wrong, but don't get involved.
Amen.
See, Nehemiah said, you can't just hear about what's going wrong and not get involved. So when he got involved, guess what? He said that he got people. And notice he said, Brother Webb, chapter 6, you didn't read in Nehemiah. The Bible says that when the enemy came up through some people saying, get Nehemiah off the wall. Get him to stop building the wall. Nehemiah said, look, we got opposition. So I want you to the west, Martha. I want your back here, but I want you one hand on your brick, but I need you to get a sword in your other hand. And Wes, you on the other side, guarding the east, make sure you got a sword in your hand and a hand on the brick. So we're going to still build, but we're going to be ready for whatever the enemy coming. You don't talk about that church, that you can bring switchblade to church. Can we bring switchblade to church? But no, Nehemiah said, I got to get prepared that there may be war.
Yeah.
But we know as believers, the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal.
Right.
carnal, but they are what? Mighty through God through what? The pulling down of the soul. So sometimes I ain't got to bring a knife. All I got to do is talk to God. Come on, y'all. See, sometimes the best weapon you can have is not cussing somebody back out. The best weapon you can have is not ignoring them or treating them bad. The best weapon you have is calling on God. Amen. Because if I put my daddy on it, yeah. See, that's why I need to tell people, you need to tell people, be careful how you treat me. Because I got a powerful daddy who owns it all, and he got all power. He's not limited. Amen. But I think believers don't realize the power we have. So Nehemiah, the Bible says, it took them what? 52 days. Because what? God sent him people with what? A mind to work. See, it's one thing to know that you can get a lot of people, but can you get them with the same mindset to work? They may show up for the project. Some people show up just to speculate, or what we call spectate. I'm here. Let me see what's going on. Let me see. I bet you ain't nobody will show up. I bet you ain't nobody will be here. Man, you know she only had 5 people up there. I don't know why she even had that ministry. I don't know what she was going. Why are you there? Did you do anything but gossip? No, I just sat there and watched. Yeah, but Nehemiah said, no, we need to make sure. And that's what, let me say this, and I don't mean to be demeaning to anybody, but sometimes, if you're a ministry leader, maybe you need to take an examination on who's in your ministry. Because if they ain't pulling no weight, they are dead weights. And so maybe you ought to be sending some people some messages saying, hey, I know you're here, and I know you're involved, but my question is, what are you doing? So Nehemiah had people who had a mindset to work. If we're going to make ministry at Mount Olive worth it, we got to have people who are ready to do work. Really, if you want to spectate or speculate, you might as well stay home. But we about what? Doing God's business and be about it when we get here. Amen? So Nehemiah had people who had a mindset to work. We also looked at Hosea. Uh-huh. Hosea had to do what? What did Hosea have to do? He had to marry a prostitute. See, he couldn't get a first lady. He got everybody lady. He got an everyday, all the time lady. And so what did we learn from that? That he had to marry a prostitute. That God can use anybody. Amen. But what else did we learn from Hosea? Yeah, that's number one. Submitting to God's will and God's work. All right, what else? Obedience. Yeah. Because you got to be obedient to do what? Marriage. Hey. Woo-hoo. Woo. You ain't doing that day, are you? Uh-huh. We ain't doing that day. Hey, Lord, I got to have somebody else there to talk to, right? So Hosea, not only what God was doing, was God was showing that he works through marriages. Let me help married couples. If you think you got married just to be married with kids and love each other and be happy, you should have never got saved. All right, let me come on this side. If you're a Christian and you're single, you should marry somebody who's loved the Lord if you don't think that your marriage is going to be ministry. If you think you're just going to be married and just have kids and that be it, then you should have never got married because marriage is ministry. God works through marriages. So how does God work through marriage? Well, here this guy who had this woman God told him to marry to what? He said, I want you to marry her because I want to show Israel how they have been to me. So God is at work through this moment, having this man marry somebody that's crazy. Can you imagine him going to church on Sunday morning and they say, why the heck you married her? God told me to marry her because God picked her. You know what everybody would say? No, God don't move like that. He ain't do me like that. He gave me a good husband. He gave me a good wife. So God truly couldn't be working to you. You ain't listening to God. Matter of fact, you should have. You ever been there? Have you ever been there where God's doing something different in you than everybody else, and everybody else don't think it's God because you look different?
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Because everybody like to be copycats. Yeah. So here, Hosea
is marrying a hooker on top of that web. She, now you one thing is saying, I don't mind her past, right? If she's done it before. But this says she is what? Still in it. And will continue in it. So he got to marry a woman who's continually to what? Have other relationships and on top of that, have kids. And so here God tell him to marry her. She has a kid. He takes over. Next thing you know, she comes home and she says, man, I can't be no housewife. How are you going to turn me into a housewife? There's nothing I can say to that. I'm going to keep that PG-13. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Keep it PG-13. You can't make me into no housewife. You know what I am, and I'm going to be what I am, and I'm never left for change of spot. I'm going to go back down here. I go where I know to get it. So here she is, bringing the kids home. You see our little baby right here? So it's Tanya. Sorry, Tanya, you just here. You got a baby. So you have to bring it back to the preacher. Amen. You're going to bring it back to the preacher. Now you take care of this baby, and I'm going to go back and do what I want to do. And come back next year, 9 months later, she's pregnant again, and come on back over here and bring this baby back over here. Then she gets pregnant 9 months later again, and come on back. Now these are some dudes, she don't even know, the husband don't know who they married by, who the baby are, and God said, nah, don't name them Craig, or don't name them RJ, name them the name of the dysfunctional people of Israel. What? And then on top of that, she gets so caught up, and then she gets so strung out, she gets so jacked up, caught up out there, here is housewife, married to a preacher. Do you imagine his ministry? He can't preach in nobody's church, can he? You ain't invited him, are you? And so all of a sudden now, here he is being used of God, and he has to have a silent ministry. And so here's a secret with God saying, I need you to marry her because I need to show Israel how they do me. Right. And to the point she gets on the slave, to the point she is now being sold. Which means if you look at the slavery, a lot of days they throw powder on you, do whatever they can to make you look the best that you can look. Here she is on a trade trail, and the Lord says, Hosea, I need you to go and buy her back. What you mean, buy her back? No, I need you to go buy her back, and he buys her back.
Excuse me. He didn't divorce or anything. When you say buy back, it's just paid like the others.
Well, she was ready to get paid like some slave, like some piece of meat. Yeah. So in their mind, she wasn't married. She was property because they've been paying for her. Okay. So at this point, she's now being on the trial to be saved, sold to the highest bidder. So he comes and says, it looks like divorce because she's on the trade, but go buy her back.
Yeah.
Wow. So he goes and buys her back, and God says, how does God work through marriage? If your marriage ain't jacked up like that, you have no reason to leave. hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying something is wrong with divorce. I'm not talking about people getting divorced. Hey, people have their views. The church split on the views. Some people believe you can get divorced. Some people say you can. So there's a whole lot of different scholars have different views. But what I am saying through Hosea is not about divorce. Hosea is about staying together and being married. And God is saying, no matter how bad it is, I'm going to use you, Hosea, to show Israel how they cheated on me. But instead of me divorcing them, I'm going to
bring them back.
It's tight.
But it's right.
Tight to it. Again, because when we understand this role, so that's what he's using to marry through Hosea. That's tough. That's why y'all get it together up front. You know who you married. Amen. That's why I said don't be unequally yoked. That don't mean non-believers and unbelievers only. That means we can be Christian and don't have the same views. Amen. You can be jacked up in your ideology. We don't think the same way. We don't act the same way. So we don't corrupt. So God said don't be unequally yoked, Kenny. Why be equally yoked with somebody that you a preacher and she don't like being real preachers? Unequally yoked. We walking and she mad. She mad every Sunday. Oh, why he got to do this? Hey, I go to Bible study. Hey, I got to do it. He mad how to deal with that. He mad at every job and sit job like, oh, Lord, got to be in that church again. Here we go. Lord, I didn't sign up for this. What you say over there?
He talks so fast.
Amen. And so again, God is seeing Hosea. He's working through marriages. God works through marriage. And here, he works through marriages by what? Conforming. Now, let me help you say, let me help people that are married. Whatever you can't stand about your wife or husband, that's what God is using. Not quite what I was going to say. But God is using your wife or husband to conform you to the image of Christ. The issue that burns you the most, you know, there's some wives and husbands had to forgive some infidelity. That's bad. That's hard. Why? But God, why? He said, but I know it's hard. I know it's difficult, but I'm conforming you into the image of Christ. Amen. I know it's difficult. I know she don't cook. I know she gained a whole bunch of weight. She lost a whole bunch of weight. She don't keep her hair and she's jacked up. She don't get sex on a regular. I know. But she's conforming you to the image of Christ. I'm sorry, am I? I thought we were grown folk here. I thought we could talk like, amen. I'm sorry. Woo, Jesus. Amen. Amen. People get divorced over this kind of stuff. But here's the thing. You know the sad thing is, you know what I hate about church folk? Because there's three things you can't talk about. Well, two things. There's money and sex, but everybody want a whole lot of it.
Amen.
I don't care if you're single, I don't care if you're married, you want some sex. You just know being single, you can't have it. But it don't mean that your body don't say, yeah, I want some. I know a lot of people checked out now, huh? You can keep checking out, I'm going to keep on hard on this issue. Yeah, you don't think people get horny in church? Yes, they do. Oh, yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, that's why I take naps and that's why I run out of home. That's why I work out, Mom. That's why I work out. Single, work out. Amen. God works through marriages. Amen. All right, let's move on. Woo! I gotta get out of here. All right. Forgot my Bible. Let me get. All right. Gotta get out of here. All right, we also looked at feeding the 5,000, right? Yeah. And we looked at what? What did God do with the feeding of 5,000? He takes a little and makes much, right? So what we learn about that? God provides, right? But what else? Remember, what did he use as food? Okay, now, two fish and what? And where did he get it from? Little boy. So what does that say to you? What does that say?
He's not
a strict person. He's going to use anybody, right? Right? But the little boy was what? Willing to give. So which means, while he's fishing, what he thought was for him, wasn't for him. That's why you can't preach about prosperity to Christians, because when we get money, we think it's all ours. No. But if you really understand kingdom, God said, I bless you that you may what? Be a blessing to other people. But it don't have to do with just money. It's your gift, your talent, your ability. When you give it over to God, God uses it to bless so many others. But too many of us, we are hoarders. Christian hoarders. In the name of the Lord. You know I got to need that. How many of you all got stuff in your closet with tags still on it? Yeah, I know you're going to raise your hand, be honest. Guess what? Hoarders. Hoarders. Now, we won't give it to the singer. We will not take it out of our closet, bring it down. You know what? How many times has the homeless ministry been asking for clothes? But did you see stuff with tickets on it? No. You don't see that. What you see is stuff that's already been used. But I wonder about these Christians that got all that stuff in their closet that they haven't even worn and it's been there for a year. Still got the tags on it. And what you say? You know how bad it is in the pain? We say, let's say Sister Singer, they ain't going to closet, you see the tags. You know what Sister Singer did for you? One day, I was fit in that dress. That's been 3 years. But one day, she was fit in that dress. So you're going to hold it for 3 years, yeah. Now I'm going on a 4th year, because the sister said, well, are you working out? No, I said, I ain't even trying. But one day I'll get there. But that's how we are. That's how we are. We are that way. And we don't understand, what if God was that way? Yeah. What if God never gave? What if he never said, I'm going to bless you that you may bless others? What if he never gave? Huh? Men do the same thing? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Amen. Praise the Lord. Uh-huh. You got a big one at home. Amen. Thank you. But God is working on that. Yeah, he did. So he got rid of a lot of tags. I got to help some other people get rid of some of the tags. Amen. But God takes what you have and he uses it to bless others.
Amen.
Right? You see that? All right? Also, you see, the last one we did was the rich man and Lazarus. How the rich man had Lazarus at his gate all this time and never did anything to help him. Right? So Lazarus dies and go to heaven. The rich man dies and go to hell. And so now what he does is, hey, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down here to cool my tongue. What does that say? Just because you're rich don't mean you're going to heaven. So look what God said. You had what you wanted every day. But Lazarus had nothing but hardship, but he's now being comforted.
That's
right. You know the greatest thing about that story, Martha? That the rich man wanted the very relief that he wouldn't give.
That's true. So true.
He wouldn't give Lazarus a relief. But the minute he's in anguish, he can't last long enough to send Lazarus down here to me.
You're right. Now
we want it. It's amazing how your perspective changes when your situation changes.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen.
See, that's how I understand about this thing. And I think God had to teach me early that resources will flow. And so here this rich man, you had an opportunity. And some of us, we have an opportunity to join in God's kingdom, but we choose not to. Number two, it don't mean you have to have resources to join in God's kingdom. Lazarus didn't have much, but God still used him. Amen. So you don't have to have much for the kingdom, right? So here we get back to our story in chapter number 6, right? Where the man says, we wanted to do ministry at the campus. But for 2 years, nothing happened. So the pastor said, well, hey, maybe y'all don't know what y'all looking for. So just in case you were wondering why Ms. Nicole took you through all those examples, it's because maybe you are not assured as to when God is at work.
At all.
Maybe you don't understand how God works. Maybe you don't understand that God works only at church.
No.
Maybe you only think that God is only available for you as long as it's something spiritual. So what this means is, and maybe all of us are focusing on a call versus enjoying God and using, let God use us every day. Because the reason why these examples are there is because he's saying, whatever day God decides, that one minute he may say, I ain't put that much money in your pocket today. When you go down and you don't see the you see the bump on the street and they want money and you got money in your pocket. God said, today, I don't want to use your money, I want to use your mouth. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe that's what it is God wants. Maybe at this moment, God wants you to, you know, talk to somebody who's about ready to commit divorce, that maybe God want to use you in this moment to say, stay together. Man, my husband went through a whole lot, and we stayed together. You can stay together, too. So we always try to find these big, grandiose things for God to use us, and God said, I'm right in your face doing the small things. And if you can't get the small stuff, how can you get the big stuff?
That's right.
Absolutely. And so here's what I say to every people say, let's go. What are you doing? I said, don't seek preaching. All God did for me was what I did one-on-one, he expanded my audience. Every day I'm talking to people one-on-one about their stuff. God was using me. It could have been say a encouraging word to her. It could have been tell her she needs to stop what she's doing. It could be, you know what, give her $5. You know what? Go ahead and tell him that God is not worried about his money, that God wants to use it. Maybe show her how to be able to use her gift. Give her a Bible verse. Give her so all these different answers and times, God was just using me in all kinds of crazy ways. It wasn't every way the same way. And guess what? I wasn't preaching it. Because the only time maybe we think that God gonna use it is we have a big title. Let me help you. Title will not, again, you can be minister and deacon, no, I still won't come to you.
That's right.
Okay. Again, God will set it up. And why will he set it up? God is an initiator. God's not a reactor. He's already doing it. The question is, he is waiting on you. God, open my eyes up to what's going on around me. God, is there anybody in around me that I can be used with you in any other kind of way that would be supernatural? So here they decide. He says, what's the cap? He said, if God gave on my heart to say, hey, anybody around your campus, that there's a verse that says, there's nobody on their own seeking God. Nobody. And I hate to bust your bubble because some of us think we all had a bag of chips. You weren't seeking God either. You were not seeking God on your own unless God initiated. This says we were all born in sin and what? Shaping iniquity. He said the only way, he said no man can come to the Father but by what? Me. And he said, nobody can come to me unless the what? Father draws. If God doesn't draw you, you don't come. You can't do it. He said, no man seeks me on my own. No man is righteous. No, not one. So that's why I don't get caught up when somebody at my job or at the store gets on a verse. Devil knows verses. But only thing is, oh, and here's the challenge for those who watch those BET stuff, these BET awards, and you see these rappers talk about the most heinous stuff, and they're just so vile and so ugly in their content. And then they get there and say, first want to give honor to God who all made it happen. Now, I really don't get mad at them no more. What I get mad is us Christians. She even told them Christians, because they said they give honor to God. Are you kidding me? He just finished cussing out every woman he knew. He just stopped, you know, butting, I mean, all this crazy stuff, and then put God on top of it.
Oh,
No. He's saying, no man is seeking God on his own. Do y'all know that? No man is seeking God on his own. Your co-worker, your supervisor, the bank teller, or the gas station attendant, if he come to you and say, can you pray for me? That is God, not him.
Amen. All right. Amen.
They can't do it on their own.
All right.
It tells us they can't open up their mouth and say, can you pray for me? Unless God does it. God has to do that. Because we are dead, of course, in sin. We are so wrapped up in sin that we can't even say God unless God initiates. So the campus pastor, he says, maybe you need to understand, no man sees God on their own. So he says, so if there's somebody in your classroom that you start to have spiritual conversations with, God is at work. And maybe we should stop trying to make God at work when they're talking about crazy stuff that ain't got nothing to do with God. Maybe we beating ourselves up against the wall trying to get people who God ain't working on yet to try to get God instead of getting to the person that God is already at work in. And so here, God is saying, I got the work going on, Leesburg. What you going to do with it? What are you going to do with Leesburg? When people start talking about, oh, man, God is so odd. That's the time you get involved. He said, then the next girl, the following Sunday, said, Pastor, there's some girls that approached me. The minute they prayed, well, in the book, he said, the minute they prayed, the girl walked up to her and said, hey, I've been watching you. I think you're a Christian. And look what she said. We've been trying to have Bible study all this time, but we don't understand. Can you kind of help us? Are you kidding me? But it would have never... Now, was God already... Were they already trying to have Bible study? Yes. But even though it was right, it wasn't time until they start praying. See, that's what's so key about praying. You got to pray that God will open up your time, that when the minute you come and the minute you're there, that is the divine moment for God. So when they pray, they get connected to God, and God said, you ain't got to move, I'm going to send it to you. So this girl is going to clap it on. And here's the next part that messed me up, and I don't know if it messed y'all up. This said that the lady said to her, can we talk? And she said, no, they don't want. Which means I now got to go to my next class. So now, do I go to class or do I talk? And here's why I need to come and park right here for a second. Because, Mr. Cole, you don't understand. God didn't pay me on my job for me to talk about Jesus all the time. So I ain't got time to be talking about Jesus when I need to be working. So you mean tell me that every minute, and every second, and every hour that you're on that job, that you're doing all your work?
No.
So when it comes to God now, hey God, hey, you know I get paid for this. So when we use it as a crutch, but you asking them how their wife, what happened on your job? How did your aunt with the surgery? How'd that go? Wow, thank you so much. How did your picnic go? I mean, when I was out of town, was it a lovely flight? Was it really great? Did all that! But now when it comes to Jesus, I ain't got time.
All right.
Now here's my question. Can God interrupt your day?
Anytime.
Huh?
Anytime.
He can do it anytime, right? Yeah, but my question is, how many times have you missed it saying, God, yeah, I would, but maybe you sinned, you didn't know God was doing it, and you chose to miss it because you weren't looking for it. Because sometimes we got a pattern, we think God only comes in a certain way. And so here this woman, she decides, instead of going to class, I'm going to skip. Now, he don't talk about how old she was, maybe her parents were paying tuition. Could have got a principal's note that she missed class. It could have been a class she was failing and didn't need to miss. But all in all, it said, when you hear what God is doing, sometimes you got to make the adjustments. That's lesson 6. Let me say that. You got to make some major adjustments and win 7 reality. Number 6 says, sometimes when you know what God is doing, you got to make some adjustments. This woman says, it's more important for me to get these people to Bible study and miss one class rather than go to class and miss God's opportunity. Whoa! I'm telling you, there's so much heavenly implications. And some people are going to bust hell wide open because we don't have 5 minutes. We don't have 8 minutes. 10 minutes. God, you better come in 2 minutes. God, you got 30 seconds. God, you got 40 seconds. Now, I'm not saying that you're 24 hours on your job preaching all day long, but I'm saying when there are God's moments. And here, let me say this. I don't care how y'all feel about it.
Bring it on.
But you know how strong I feel about what I just said? It's because I serve the Father of time. And the Father of time controls time. Yeah. And he knows the time that my supervisor, where he's going to be, and where she was going to be at any given time. And so it's the Father of time who recognized time allowed this moment to intersect. I need to know that the same God that gave the intersection is going to protect the intersection.
Amen.
But what we try to do is we try to help everything out and try to save our job. Let me help you. You can't save your job. If God wants you to get fired, you're going to get fired. Okay, all right. You have no control. We can do the best job we can and hope God blesses us. But no, God said, I'm in control. So, Father, on my job, God sets it up. And when he sets it up, I have no choice but to trust that God has set it up. Number two, I don't give up. Let me hold my mute right there. I don't care at that moment because I know heaven is more important.
Right.
Because I know, here's how crazy I make things. That if I take a moment to talk about God and that person gets saved and I get fired for it, I know that God that I got me to allow me to get fired. God allowed me to That's why you have to be to this place where this is about enjoying God. But Bobby, when I know the God of time, he's going to create the intersection right at the time that I know I'm going to protect it. That's how I know my God, how bad he is. But let me help you.
Vegan, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27.
Can you imagine, for the sake of this moment,
that some of us may have missed a God moment, which means there could have been 27 more people here. That there are 27 people here. And they may have missed their moment, that there could have been 27 more people added to the kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. That's right.
But what if there, Deacon,
are 10 moments per person?
Maybe we are smaller where we are because we got our mouth shut.
You mean...
We're not talking. And I'm just saying, God moments.
Amen.
God moments. At the laundromat, God moments. The man put air in your tie. Maybe a God moment. But if we're not open to God using us. And you know the reason why I'm so passionate about this? Because there are so many people who took moments to talk to me. Where would my life be if I didn't take a moment? If they didn't take a moment with me, what if the pastors never spoke a word to me? What if they say, Minister Cole, let me take you out to dinner? What if they just pass the moments over? What if Pastor Singer would have never said, hey, come on down to the house, let's talk?
I wouldn't be a leader.
Mm-hmm. Pray for her, y'all.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Truly not a God, truly not.
I had to get you, Grace. I had to get you.
All right. So come on, turn to page number 70. It says, God is always what?
Active.
Active. God is always
active.
Say it again. God is always
active.
Say it again.
God is always active.
I say it again.
God is always active.
I say it again.
God is always active.
One more time.
God is always active.
Yes. Now, since you know that, if you know he's active, which means he's doing what? He's working.
All the time.
So if God is working, my question to you is, will you work? Why you ain't working? Oh, God got to do all the work. All right. He says right now, God is working all around you. One of the greatest tragedies among God's people is that even though they long to experience him, they do not know how to recognize him at work in their midst. If this has been true of your Christian experience, I pray that this book will help you learn how to clearly recognize God's activity in and around your life. These are extremely exciting days, to be walking with the Lord. You don't want to miss out on what he is doing. The Holy Spirit will instruct you and help you when and where God is working. So here's my question. You all said earlier that God is always what?
Working.
Working. And this the book just said that who will help you?
The Holy Spirit.
Say it again.
The Holy Spirit.
Say it again.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. One more time.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Will
instruct you, right? Say it again.
The Holy Spirit
will help you and instruct you. One more time. God is active. The Holy Spirit
will
help you and instruct you. All right. Now, my question to you is, where is he? Where is the Holy Spirit? So, go back to my previous statement. If God is always working, and the Holy Spirit will help me and instruct me, and he's in me, how do I miss him?
Is it that we're ignoring?
Huh?
Are we ignoring?
We are ignoring, quenching, hindering. Oh, say it again. Say it again.
What's that?
What you just said?
That's too noisy.
Interesting, off topic real quickly. I'm reading this book called Keeping the Sabbath. And the author goes into how we lost sight of the Sabbath. And how we got so much stuff going on after church that we are so captivated by the world that we're catching up on errands and work and projects and schoolwork, and we don't spend time with God. And part of it, you know, he talks about, is that ceasing from work, it helps you to get now sensitive back to God. And be now the Holy Spirit to operate and work within you. And you're spending time, now I turn my phone off. Just kidding, I only tried it once so far. I had so many hard times, but when I tried to try it to death, I thought I could do it for 12 hours. I thought I could do it from sun up to sun down. But what happened when I got out of church, something just told me I forgot I was keeping the Sabbath, and I had to turn my phone on. Next thing you know, it was business as usual. I got tempted so much because calls, emails, and here I am, and Holy Spirit saying, I thought you were keeping the Sabbath. Well, ain't no sense me keeping it now. I'm already unbroken. Can I be honest?
Yeah.
And I think what happens in the same realm with the Spirit is that we're in tune in Sunday at church. But somehow between the church and the parking lot and the conversation, somehow God leaves.
Because all you got to do is run into the wrong person.
My Lord. Say it again.
And their conversation ain't nothing about God, and they'll help you make it leave. Some people, they ain't got to open up their mouth just seeing them, the Holy Spirit leave.
Okay, all right.
Some people you know that all they want to talk about is foolish stuff and got nothing to do with God. And so here, I wonder if the Holy Spirit is in us, then how are we missing? How can we? If he is speaking only what the Father hears, then maybe there's a disconnect. Because the message is coming, he's right there in you, so something happened between you and the message. So which means then, let's break this down. The Father translates it to the Spirit. The Spirit translates it to us. So it's like the Spirit is relaying what the Father is saying. So I know, Wes, I'm not big enough, strong enough, wise enough, jacked up enough to stop God the Father from speaking to the Spirit.
That's right.
So we got that clear.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, the problem is the Spirit talking to me. Mm-hmm. And maybe the one we're too noisy. Mm-hmm. Now here's the problem with that. That's a tragedy when the God of the universe wants to speak to you, but you too busy talking to people that ain't got nothing to do with him. What I've been sensing, not that you haven't been doing it, but that you've been valuing in a major way in your time as well. Now, just imagine that the minute y'all are intimate in a time conversation, y'all in a phone conversation, and all of a sudden, Kenny called. Will you answer?
Now, if I said a regular conversation, but intimacy, and y'all really having a moment to share, no.
Phone, right? You're not answering. Because why? That moment right here is precious. So, could it be that we are so captivated by talking to people more than we are to God? But you know, the sad thing is, you want God to show up 10 o'clock through 12. Because maybe we say, God checked out at 12:30. God, I don't know how much you talk. I'm getting out of this church. I don't care what preacher get up there and start talking. Lord, I'm shutting them down at 12:30 because I'm out of here. Not only that, but you know what? God, I'm shutting you down the minute I get in my car because I'm putting on secular music.
Sometimes you shut them down, you ain't even leave the church.
Hmm?
You haven't left the service.
Oh, you ain't left the service.
And you know, shut them down.
Oh, yeah.
Often enough.
And so I'm trying to concern about these Christians, us as believers, who are going to heaven, where it's going to be Sunday all day, and you can't handle more than 2 hours? Or maybe you shut down that the only time you and God talk is when you read your Bible. And I ain't going to tell you the statistic on what they say about Christians who don't read their Bible. Maybe it's only the time when you pray. You don't want to hear me. You can give you the statistics on how lack of prayer Christians do. Not the world. I'm talking about Christians that don't pray. You don't want me to give me the statistics on how many pastors and preachers don't pray. So if the preachers and pastors jacked, where do you think y'all at? Jack. Because they say if a preacher is supposed to be more closer to God. So they are what? Their calling forces them to do this. But no, not so. Again, I think Christianity across the board, we have drowned God out. And here's the thing. This case. I want you to, for the sake of this conversation, you got 10 seconds to get to the fire. Just keep talking. God says, what I do, just keep talking.
Talk about anything
you want to, just talk.
It's been a lovely day. I've been up since 6 o'clock this morning. And I'm tired. and I took a nap and almost missed my meeting. I ate my dinner early and I didn't get to eat my other dinner. I came to
You pause when?
When you walk out that door.
Same thing happened to you. Same thing.
And so what do you think you do with God?
Same thing.
Trying to get your attention. And you still talking because you think you can see him. But the minute you can't see him,
Yeah.
So could God be at a place where he's saying, I'm wasting my time talking to people that ain't listening? But I challenge you that you take the time to ask God to speak. Not only speak, God, speak that I may hear, and when I hear, I'll be obedient. So the book is talking about experiencing and enjoying God, but how can you experience and enjoy a God you don't hear? So you can't know what God is doing. So guess what happened, D? If you don't no longer hear God, who do you think you're going to? You're going to people who you think got a word from God. Mm-hmm. Now, the statistics show, too, that some of them jokers, they ain't hearing God either. So what we come up doing is saying, I can't act like I ain't hearing from God. Yeah, see, what I need God saying. I got to make stuff up. So, again, yes, sir.
Just like when we get in a circle.
Yes.
My opinion is, yes. If you're asking to pray for someone,
yes,
then you should be praying for them yourself.
Absolutely.
Already praying.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Don't ask somebody else to pray.
Absolutely.
Somebody that you're not praying for, is my point.
Yeah, well, sometimes people may think that you're more eloquent in speech and you can get to God out of you.
You know, if I ask you to pray for my wife, I'm already praying for her.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's got a line of God to tell.
Absolutely. I agree.
Anybody else?
They say when you're praying, instead of them praying, you go to somebody else and say, hey, won't you pray for such and such versus praying yourself?
That's right.
I'm not necessarily saying you can't ask for somebody else to pray, but I'm saying you should be praying for that person yourself also. But a lot of times people ask you to pray for someone that they're not praying for.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that's why I start changing some of my statements up. Join me in praying.
That's right. Pray with me.
Join with me in praying. Right. But then you got some people saying, join you, and then I'll repent after that because they know they ain't doing praying. All right, let me move on. Look what he says. I've heard some people from around page 71 from all around the world who suddenly discovered God has been present and active in the workplace or their church or their family or their neighborhood, but they had not recognized. He says, when God revealed where he's at work, he says, suddenly they were able to start a noonday Bible study at their job site, see revival come to their church, help a spouse draw closer to the Lord, or lead a neighbor to faith in Christ. Before, these Christians had assumed God was not doing anything significant around them. After God had revealed to them what he was doing, they realized they had been missing out on God's great work. At the end of the day, You can't do what God told me to do.
Exactly. No.
Because he has. So, and then there's some work that God has strategically gave us to do. Now, I do believe there's some work that if you don't do it, that God will have somebody to come and do it.
Yeah. But that doesn't relieve the fact that God told me to do it.
Right.
And my responsibility to carry out that plan. Mm-hmm.
But I want to join with God. I don't want to have to force God to force me to get involved. I'm going to love enough for God to force us to want to get involved. All right? Look what he says. Many people long for God to do a significant work in their life. However, they try to bypass the love relationship. The love relationship is why God created you. That is far more important to him than what you do for him. Anticipate that the first thing God will do in your life is to draw you into a more intimate relationship with him. That's the reason I'm talking about. Are you hearing from the Spirit? Are you spending time with God? Because it's all about that. It's not about what you do for him. It ain't about, okay, God, you want me to give you $5 to somebody, or want me to speak a word to somebody. It's no. You so in tune with God, and you love God so much, and know that that channel of communication is so fluent, it's so open, that you're willing to do whatever he said. And it's not because he makes me do it, but because I'm so in love with him. It's so great to see couples that are so in love with each other that they do it because they love each other and they're happy about doing it and they're working together to do it. You know, I was amazed when I went to a couple's house to find out. I said their yard was manicured and it was something like, man, they must be paying somebody to come over and do that. And all I found out that the husband and wife decided that they said, we don't pay nobody. Miss Cole, we get out there and we do that ourselves. I get out there with him, and we join and just, what an amazing love relationship that is to find a couple that works like that together, and look at the result. Wow, look at that manicured yard. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I couldn't believe Joe was out there manicuring his yard. Let alone Sister Ann was out there. Like, what? You kidding me? But I was enjoying the fact that they were saying, we get out there together, and you can see the smile emanate off the love they have for each other, which means I don't want one to be out there sweating more than I do. Can you imagine how that is when God institutes that love, and you love it with God, and you join in with him? You get so happy, so excited. You know what? When God uses me to bless people, I get more out of it than they do. Because I enjoy love. That I know that the Father is excited. Not because I did it, but because I was excited and willing to do it. Can we fall in love with God like that? That all you do is think about him. All you want to do is talk to him. Somebody told me that loneliness is God's megaphone to you that he wants more of your time. Woo! We made that marinate for me. I didn't say your boyfriend's megaphone. I didn't mean your husband. I said it could be God's megaphone to say that because I heard couples can relate to their husband and wife and still be lonely. And some of it is because that boy is only with God. And God fills that void and that love relationship. And so no matter how much you try to human to feel it, they can't feel it like God does. I promise you, ain't nothing like it to be wrapped up in God's love and know that he loves me and he don't judge me. He don't care about my bad thoughts. He don't sort out all my issues and all my trauma. He just loves on me. When I get around you, I got to wonder what you're going to say. I got to wonder what you're thinking, how you feel. Maybe you don't feel like hugging me. Maybe you don't feel like this. But I'm so glad when I get in God's presence. I ain't got to worry about me too tired. I ain't got to worry about me working all day. Baby, can we get together? Nah, I've been working all day. You better not come to me, but I love God. That when I go to God at the midnight hour, I go to God in the morning, that he's always ready. He's always available. Always want to love on me, and I want to love on him back. Is anybody here? I'm the only one that experienced God like that. That when you know you called on him, he was right there. He didn't let the phone on the answer machine or voicemail. He didn't do that. He didn't put you to voicemail, but he was right there. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. amen, where while you were going through your struggle, while you were going through the stroke, while it's coming, you didn't have to wait till us pray. The Father was already right there loving you at the moment that it could have been worse. But now you can take that idea. That's what it means to be a believer. That regardless of what I'm in, the Father is right there.
Right.
Yeah. He loved me that much that he can get off the heaven throne and come down right to where I am. Hallelujah. I'm glad I gotta call you. I gotta worry about what time it is, worry about how far you when you gotta get up and all that stuff. They got disrespected. I'm calling too late, calling too early. But when it comes to God, I'm so glad he stands outside of time. He's never tired, he's never weary, he said he never slumbers nor sleep. So he's always around, he's waiting and wanting to talk to me. Amen. So maybe God wants to wake you up and say, where is my time? Stop giving everybody else some time and give me the leftovers. Maybe God wants some early time. Maybe God wants some late at night time. But wherever your time is,
come on. That's
all right. God said, I want some time.
Yeah.
And maybe the reason why we can't enjoy God is because we ain't got time for him. Well, I wonder if he didn't have time for me. Thank you. He made time for me before I got here. He made provisions of my intimacy with him before. He already showed it. He sent his son back before I even knew how to pray. He said, son, you ain't got to go to no priest. I'm going to settle it before you even need me. I'm going to initiate a relationship. Glory be to God. I'm so God glad that God pursues me. He goes after me. I mean, let me tell you this example real quickly. Is that I think I had been about 4 years into really sold out for God at this point. 4 years and sold out for God. And all I did was eat, sleep, drink, and come home and read my Bible. That's all I did. I didn't go outside. I didn't go out and hang with my family. I didn't do nothing. I would just work, go to sleep, read my Bible. Wake up in the morning, work, go to sleep. I just spent time with God. That's all I did. I switched job on my job. I said, Lord, you know what? For the last couple of days, I ain't really been spending my time with the Lord. I've been tired. So I said, Lord, tonight, though, I'm going to shut my phone off. I'm going to shut everything down. And I'm going to read my Bible. And I'm going to enjoy you. And the minute I got home, and the minute I took a shower, I laid on that bed, it was curtains. I woke up the next morning, went to work. And on my way to work, on the bus, when I was on my way to work, Danielle, I'm sitting there, and somehow the Holy Spirit reminded me of how I was supposed to read my Bible. And I was like, oh my God, Lord. It's all about y'all, but I don't want y'all call me too deep where you want. I said, oh my God, Lord, I can't believe I failed you. At the moment when I need to get into your word the most, I went to sleep. And I'm saying, God, man, I wanted to pray. I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to spend some time. And here's what messed me up. At the most moment of my failure to spend time with God, and it was because of my intimacy, I developed with him. Oh, my girlfriend who you love to be around, and then when you feel like that you couldn't be around them, then you just like, oh, my God. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like that you had a boo like that so bad, good to you, that you just, man, you felt when you didn't get time with him, like, oh, man, my whole world. That's how I was with God. Me and God was just so intertwined. And so when I felt, I said, God, you know, I didn't pray. I didn't read my Bible. And he said so softly in my ear, Kenny, I love you with an everlasting love. I love you when you pray. I love you more when you don't pray. I love you when you study. I love you more when you don't study. I love you more, Kenny, when you witness. I love you even greater when you're too afraid to open up your mouth. I love you, Kenny, when you got all the time to give to me. I love you even more, Kenny, when you only got a couple seconds to give. On and on, God kept running down the resume. But what made my mind go to jump and be shouting all on the bus, crying and weeping like a baby, is because every time that he mentioned something negative, he said, I love you more. And I said, oh my God. He kept saying, when you don't do it, I love you more. When you don't, I love you more. When you don't, I love you more. And he said, what he was saying to me is that don't focus on the deeds. Focus on my love. I love you, son. And I know that your greatest heart desire was to spend time with me.
So don't get caught up that you missed it. You got a journey to make it up.
Right?
So my son, what you gonna do tonight? Lord, I'm so when I went home, woo, you talking about the Holy Ghost time. Woo! I wouldn't take no shower before I was now my time. Lord, I'm stressed out. Yeah, don't be bothering me, turn off my phone, turn off the TV, and me and God. How many of you all are like me? Need to always have noise around your house?
I do.
So sometimes I have to be intentional about turning stuff off.
Yeah.
And every time that my TV is on, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, son, you turn it off and pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Lord, close my eyes and really talk to the spiritual. And I'm listening at the same time.
Can
I be honest?
Yeah.
What about you? I'm honest about mine. Where you at?
The first thing I do when I get up in the morning is flip the TV on.
Mm-hmm.
It's then the Holy Spirit will convict.
Yes.
I have to flick it off, turn mm-hmm. off the light,
mm-hmm.
and go on my knees.
Yeah.
And those are the best.
Yeah. Anybody else, what's your struggle? Mm-hmm. When God wants your time, what's your greatest struggle? To get into his presence.
I'm
growing
early in the morning.
Early in the morning?
Yeah, like sometimes 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. When it's so still, so quiet, everything is, that's good.
That's
what to say? Oh, what to study, okay, good. Anybody else? How many people who love it quiet, but you're still in the quietness, it ain't about God?
What?
How many people love quiet? How many people love quiet? They love having that quiet in the house.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, does being quiet in the house help you get in God's presence more?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many people got to be in a solitary space to do it?
Solitary?
I mean, you got to be like at home, or you got to be in a room, or you got to be in your closet. Like some of us literally get in our secret closet. We bought that Bible talking literally, so some of us carved out a space in the shoe, and you up in there. Yeah, like your face. Yeah. Some things that I find most often for me is going where a park where there's water. And I just feel like Jesus walking on the water in my moment with him, like he's coming to me, and I just get so giddy, like a boyfriend just got a girlfriend that you've been liking so long. You just so get, that's how I get with me and God. I love going to parks and take long walks and just be talking to him and enjoying nature and just getting in his presence. Yes, ma'am.
I would just say for myself, I like the quiet time because mm-hmm. I want to be able to hear him talk to me.
Yeah.
So I know if I'm quiet and I don't hear anything around me, I can do that.
Yeah.
We study it when they're in completely different rooms of the house.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, we don't.
For the sake of my last, two minutes, I'm gonna try to exercise. Everybody, close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. And I want you to now picture yourself standing. You're before the throne. Without me calling on you, just tell me what you see. Is the throne big, small? What do you see around you? Just call it out.
Big,
okay?
Right.
Okay. Any others? What else you see?
For me, I see Jesus with his arms stretched out.
Amen. Welcome amen. Glory to God.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Okay. Amen. Now you see the throne. Where do you see you?
Standing before him.
Standing.
At his feet.
At his feet.
Yes.
Amen. Any others?
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. What else you see? What else you see? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you big or are you small?
Small.
Oh, wow. Glory to God. Glory to God.
He is
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
A lot of brightness.
Hallelujah. So you see brightness.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The angels around. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Is there any noise? Any noise?
No noise.
No noise. Just quiet. Amen. All right. Now you're there. Picture you there. You're standing with all your issues, all your struggles, all your disappointments, all your hurts. Can you picture Jesus getting up from the throne?
Mm-hmm.
And as he's coming around, he's coming around the throne. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. I feel your presence, God. I feel your presence.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming right beside you. And he's touching you with the hole in his hand.
Mm.
And as you look, can you see his feet? Can you see him hug you?
Mm-hmm.
Wrap his arms around you.
Mm-hmm.
And tell you that he loves you. There's nothing you can face.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing you can ever go through. No matter you have been through. At this moment, just bask in Jesus hugging you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In your own way, what do you say? Just burn it out. Just burn it out.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Just take your moment in your own way. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. He wants to hear anything you got to say with your heart. He wants to hear it. He wants to know all your struggles. He wants to know about your weaknesses. All your failures. He said, I got it. Your pains, I got it. The pain of the loss of a loved one, I got it. Auntie, grandma, mama, daddy,
yes.
Husband, wife, sister. Brother, sister.
Yes.
He said, I got it. I know your pain. I know your hurt. But I'm here to love you, to care for you. There's nothing I won't spare to come to your aid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now as you see the Son hugging you, imagine the Father with his gigantic steps coming from around the throne. He's wrapping his arms around Jesus, who's wrapping his arms around you. Hallelujah. Can't you see the Father just encircling you, loving on you? When you see the Son, you see the Father. The Father and I are one. And you are in our love. We have a great plan. We have a great purpose. But I know all that's great. But what we're here tonight is to tell you we love you.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters. We just want to show you we love you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We're transitioning into our intercessory prayer. Not the traditional way where we come together to hold hands. We are right at the throne. No need to move. Just ask. Send that prayer request that you was going to send to us. Send it up now. Talk to him. Whatever it is, talk to him. Hallelujah. This is your moment with the Father and the Son. Take advantage of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whatever it is, it's not too big for him to handle. It's not too small that he's not concerned. God who was, who is, and is forevermore. The Alpha and the Omega. The first and the last. The beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Give it to him. Give it to him. He's here. I feel his presence. He's here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanking you for all things, great and small. How you're healing, how you're delivering, how you're setting folks free, how you're meeting the needs of your people, dear Lord, and how you are loving on us, Father God. Thank you for deeply loving us. Thank you for greatly blessing us. Thank you, Father God, for highly favoring us and using us in a mighty way that we will get busy doing your will. In Jesus' name, thank you. We love you and we praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Bless your name, Father God.
Praise you, God.
Magnify you. Glory by you.
Because Father, thank you for this time of you, a time of quietness, a time of peace, a time of reflection, a time of introspection. So even just a time to kneel before your throne.
Hallelujah.
Father, help us to enjoy this taste of you. So that we desire more time with you, more intimacy with you, more closeness with you. Open our hearts, God, and open our minds, and open our spirits, Lord, to receive from you, Lord. Open our ears, Lord, to understand when you speak, Lord. Let us be sensitive to the moving and the direction and the voice of your spirit, Lord. Teach us to recognize your voice, Lord. Teach us to obey your voice, Lord. Teach us to follow your voice, Lord, our servants, Lord.
Yes.
But we gave so many excuses. We get so distracted, Lord. We follow our own ways, our own ways.
Yes, God. Yes.
God, turn us around.
Praise God. We're
hearing you in a new, refreshing way, Lord, and a way that just excites us, Lord, to want more and more time with you, Lord. Let us not be satisfied with Sunday service or Thursday night Bible,
yeah, God.
or just a good song on the radio, Lord, let that not satisfy us.
Yes, God.
But let us hunger and thirst after you.
Hallelujah.
Hunger and thirst after your spirit.
Yeah, God.
Hunger and thirst for closeness.
Yes,
to you, Lord.
Yes, God.
Hunger and thirst, Lord, just to be more like you, Lord.
Yeah, God.
And to hear your voice. Just to hear
your voice. Hallelujah.
Up, Lord. Just
hallelujah.
Tell us, go this way, do it this way.
Yes, God.
Rest this way.
Yes, God.
Just to hear you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God, remove all distractions.
Yeah, God.
Remove everything that hinders us.
Yes, God.
From hearing from you, Lord.
Yes, God.
Everything, Lord, that hinders us from receiving you. We surrender our
hands.
We surrender our will, our mind, our spirit, our body, our tradition, our religion, our church, our husband, our wife, anything, oh God, that keeps us from you, Lord. We give it up to you that we may receive the more from you.
Yeah.
We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. Bless the Lord, thank my soul and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul and all that is within me. I will bless your name, Lord. 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 Lord, I come to you just now, one of your humble servants, Lord. Just asking you to continue to bless this church family, Lord. Keep us under one band of love, Lord God. Allow us to grow closer to you, Lord
God.
And Father, we ask a special blessing upon the leadership of this church. We ask that you bless our pastor, Lord God. That you keep him in your keeping care, Lord God. That you continue to use them like never before, Lord God, so that men, women, boys, and girls will know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, Lord God. We ask a special blessing upon our deacons and deaconess, Lord God. We ask that you just bless them, Lord God, and just show them your wisdom, Lord God. Let them come together under one accord, Lord God, and Father, use them so that the young women, as far as the deaconess, Lord, just give them the wisdom to share with us, Lord God. And then we ask a special blessing upon the deacons, Lord God. We ask that you just show them how to teach the young men how to be men of God, Lord God. And Father, we ask a special blessing upon the congregation, Lord God.
In the name of Jesus.
We just ask that you continue to order our steps.
Yeah, God.
Continue to
show
us that sin has no place in our lives.
Hallelujah.
We ask that you create a right spirit.
Yeah, God.
Clean us up, Lord God.
In the name of Jesus.
So that you can be used, Lord God.
Yes, oh God.
And then we ask that we a loving, intimate relationship with you. Because you can do nothing without you, Lord God. We can't do anything without you. So we ask that, again, that you order our steps, that you use us, Lord God, so that we can bring the lost to you, Lord God. Father, you said you would draw. So we ask that you use our hands.
Hallelujah, God.
That you use our feet, Lord God. That you use our eyes,
Lord,
as only you can.
Yes,
and Father, we thank you in advance because we know that you're able to do exceeding abundantly and above. So we thank you in advance,
thank
Lord
you,
God,
Jesus.
For all that you do for us,
hallelujah.
All that you continue to do for us,
hallelujah.
How you lead and guide us, how you keep us from all hurt,
God. Thank you, God.
So we ask right now, everyone in this room, Lord God, that we be concerned
hallelujah.
For one another.
Yeah, God.
Yeah,
God. Yes, oh God. Hallelujah, God.
But that we keep it in our hearts,
God.
That we share with one another and keep it close to our hearts.
Yes, oh God.
So that we can trust one another, Lord God. Just like you trust us. That we can forgive one another. You forgave us.
Yeah, God.
Thank you for your darling son.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
For that special gift that you gave
in
us.
In the name of Jesus.
So we ask that you
give
us what gifts that we have.
Yeah, God.
So that we can edify.
Hallelujah.
Christ.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes, oh God.
Yeah, God.
But Father, we're down here just waiting on you, Lord God.
Hallelujah, God.
Knowing that we need you right now.
Yeah, God.
We need you more than ever.
Hallelujah, God.
Father, we realize that we say that we worship you and we praise you, but Father, when we look at what we're doing,
yeah,
Father,
God.
Are we truly being what we say?
Yeah, God. Yeah, God.
Father, break us down right now.
Please, God, in the name of Jesus.
Spirit, Father God, rain down upon us right
please,
now.
God, please, God.
Use us in a mighty way, Father.
Hallelujah.
Use us, Father God, to
yes,
your
God.
Glory and to your
yeah,
name.
God.
Yeah. Father, realize we need your love right now. We need the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, God. Yes,
come
God.
And get down in our hearts right now.
Please,
get
Lord.
Get down in us, Father God, to where we will be able to willing and work it to go out and to do what you would have us to do.
Yeah, God.
Father, use us like you used Abraham. Right
hallelujah,
now.
God.
Father, use us and where we will go out and be obedient.
Yeah,
to
God.
You.
Yeah, God.
No matter what you ask us to do.
Yeah, God.
That we're willing to be willing to do.
Hallelujah, to God.
Do. Just let us be another Nehemiah.
Yeah, God. Yeah, God.
Right
yeah,
now.
God.
To work right now.
Hallelujah.
We realize we don't have to be on the wall.
Yeah, God.
Father, we realize just let us walk out into
hallelujah.
The walk out into the streets of Leon.
Yeah, God.
And use us to your glory.
Hallelujah.
Father, because we realize that somebody's out there right now
hallelujah.
Is looking for a way right
hallelujah.
Now. We that have
hallelujah.
Been raised by you, Lord God,
hallelujah.
Let us be an instrument to be used
yes,
by you
oh God.
That you would draw somebody unto
yes,
you. We realize we can't draw, but you can.
Yes,
so, Father,
yes,
we realize that we can't draw unless you let your Holy Spirit
yes.
bring down upon
yeah,
us.
God.
So, Father, most of all, will clean us up right now.
Please, God.
We can't clean us up, but clean us up
yeah,
for your Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Call down in our hearts right
thank
now.
Thank you, oh God.
So wherever we go and whatever we do.
Yeah, God.
The love that we have to do.
Yeah, God.
Father, we thank you right now, Father, for your teaching right now.
Thank you, oh God.
We pray, Father God, for the teacher right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
For the understanding of the word that he has
hallelujah.
Taught
thank
Father,
you,
let
God.
It get in our hearts.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
This place, Father.
Thank you, oh Jesus.
Reach out to somebody.
Thank you, oh God.
Just by monetary gift, but Father, reach out with a hand. Of love.
Yeah, God.
Father, realize that we need more love.
Yeah,
right
God.
There.
Yeah, God.
Right
yeah. Hallelujah.
Use us, Lord God.
Yeah, God.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
From the theater, from the pastor, right on down to
yeah,
the
God. Yeah, God. Yeah, God.
Father, because we are your church right
hallelujah.
Now.
Hallelujah.
It's not about just feeling the fun within our hearts. Father, we thank you right now.
Thank
we thank you right now. But Father, you see that you got right great work here for first of all to do. But folks, most of all, we got to get on one accord. We got to have a love relationship with you, knowing and that we will understand and knowing that you're working right around us. But let us be understanding to know what you would have on us. Father, we thank you right now. We love you. We pray that you keep your loving arms around this and that flock. Father, we can't help but say thank you, Lord God.
Yes, okay.
For all you've done.
Hallelujah.
Which is still doing it in our lives.
Yes, sir.
And use us, Father. But most of all, use me.
Yeah, God.
Start with me.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
So many times we talk about we have a revival.
Yeah,
but
God.
Let the revival start within me right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, God.
So wherever I go.
Hallelujah.
Whatever I do.
Thank you, Jesus.
I talk about the glory and the goodness that you have.
Hallelujah, God.
Because you've been so good to me.
Yes,
love you, God.
Yeah, God.
We love you, Lord.
Yes, God.
We love you. And we just want to give you all the glory.
Yeah, God.
And we ask it in your name. And we pray.
Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hold on before you go. Got 2 minutes before you go. Bob, come on up, Barbara. Come on up. Sister, come on up. Come on up. Praise the Lord.
Opportunity to celebrate with you.
your birthday. So we wanted to celebrate your birthday. Come on, let's praise the Lord for Bob's birthday.
Back, come on up, Ty, and bring it on out. Amen. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. She had no clue, no idea. Amen. Yeah.